This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. Of course, we continue the count of the amount of time that our hostages have spent in those terrible conditions in Gaza. 376 days already. There's still, unfortunately, no sign of the release of our hostages, and we continue to call for their release and to encourage our IDF soldiers, of course, to do whatever they can to secure them. Ruth wrote in with an interesting question mm-hmm. about some reports that have suggested that Ismail Kani, who is the head of the Iranian Quds Force, mm-hmm. apparently there were some reports that suggest that he may be a Mossad spy or may have been a Mossad spy. It's not something that I've actually seen in the Israeli press, but when I looked it up, I did see some reports that suggested it. So I think that we need to be a little cautious about what we're believing, because there's just so much fake news that's being distributed at the moment. Kaani, of course, was in Beirut at the time of an Israeli attack, and for quite an extended period of time we didn't know whether he was alive or not, but he has actually appeared alive and well, so he seems to have managed to survive that attack. He actually appeared at the funeral of Abbas Nilforushan, who was the Quds Force representative in Beirut and was a deputy commander of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. He was killed alongside the Hezbollah chief Nasrallah when Israel managed to hit them. He was in that meeting and he was killed, and his funeral is now taking place in Iran, and Kaani appeared there. But what was interesting about talking about firings and things like that, there was an interview that was held recently, a week or two ago, with the former president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And people might remember his name. And he appeared on the Turkish channel, the Turkish CNN channel. And he made the statement that a unit that had been established to spy on Israel had been infiltrated by the Mossad. Unit, I mean it had been established to spy on Israel. An Iranian unit had been established to spy on Israel, and that had been infiltrated by the Mossad to the point that the head of that unit had become a Mossad spy, and that another 20 odd people in that unit also were helping to send information to the Mossad. And there was a suggestion that when Israel stole Iran's nuclear documents, that they might have somehow been involved in assisting that particular exercise. So, yeah, I mean, we don't really know in this world of espionage and counter-espionage who's actually feeding who and what they're feeding people, because oftentimes you think they're a spy and then it turns out they've been feeding them fake news and it's some sort of a double agent situation. All of this is extremely fascinating. But somehow we need to allow the Mossad to get on with their job undercover. And somehow we I think it feels a little safer for me when I don't get too involved in that whole world of espionage. It's like it's fraught and unclear. And I just wonder how people manage to survive in that world where you really can't trust anybody.
Yeah, it's just bizarre, absolutely bizarre. Let's talk about some of the news, and of course we know that that there's a lot going on with the U.S. administration with the deployment of this TAD system. What is the latest in this regard?
Well, there's some very fascinating things that are going on, because now I understand that the THAAD system has actually been deployed, as far as I'm aware, and that has happened. But of course, the latest headline talks about the fact that the US has given Israel 30 days to sort out the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. And when you hear that, it just sounds so unbelievable and crazy that you think that Israel would simply fight back and say, hang on a second, there is really little for us to do, especially when we see aid trucks going into Gaza. We're playing our part. We're allowing these aid trucks to go into Gaza and to bring whatever humanitarian aid is required in Gaza. And then what we see is that Hamas hijack these trucks, take the goods for themselves, whatever goods they don't take for themselves, they sell onto the Palestinian population at massive profits. Howard, I know you carried a story about that on one of your feeds. But the point is that it's very, very difficult for Israel to be held responsible for that situation. And so my expectation was that the Israeli government would go back to the U.S. and say, what do you mean you're putting this 30-day requirement on us to sort out the humanitarian crisis in Gaza? And by the way, if the 30 days runs out and it's not sorted out to the US's liking, then there is this threat of embargoing arms, that Israel will be embargoed with arms shipments, which is a very, very serious situation and quite a serious public statement to make, because at the moment, what Israel really needs is the US support publicly, almost at any price. And yet these public statements are being made. And yet, for whatever reason that I don't quite get, the Israeli government have said, okay, we will do whatever it takes in order to sort this out. So the Israeli government is really towing the line, not pushing back at all, simply accepting whatever it is that the US is saying. And all of this makes me feel like it's kind of contrived headlines feeding into the election process. It just makes me feel like it's not real, because if this was a real situation, then Israel would say, guys, don't threaten us with these arms embargoes. Don't hold us responsible for the humanitarian situation in Gaza. We're doing everything that we can. And even if we're not right now, we need you to publicly support us. And yet that's not the case. So I'm getting the impression that a lot of this is about just getting the ground ready for the US election, which is coming up, and that a lot of what we're reading is more dominated by how this may affect the election in the US than anything else. That's my personal view. I haven't seen that view stated anywhere. But that's my personal view, because it just doesn't seem believable. It's really not believable. I mean, Israel has done more than can be expected of it in terms of supplying humanitarian aid to Gaza, allowing these trucks in, setting up humanitarian zones in Gaza. Humanitarian zones have been set up, have enabled the guerrilla forces that Hamas has become to embed themselves within these humanitarian areas in order to carry out further attacks against Israel. So one could argue that the establishment of some of these humanitarian zones in Gaza has actually been counterproductive to Israel's security, and yet it's been done. So I think it would be very, very tough for anybody to come and be honest in accusing Israel of not doing whatever it can do under the circumstances. And we always need to remember that this is a war. This is not a usual situation. So of course, life in Gaza is a war type life. It's not comfortable. A lot of destruction, a lot of death, a lot of people inconvenienced, and a lot of people living in what can only be described as squalid and inhospitable conditions. All of that is 100% true. And all of that is because Hamas decided to use civilian areas to carry out a massacre against Israel. And for that, unfortunately, there is a price to be paid.
What is the latest? I see that the targets, the Iranian targets, have been agreed, that it's now really just a matter of where and when. This also seems a little contrived. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling the nature, like what is really going on here. I feel like I'm missing something.
Well, what's interesting as well about the whole Iranian situation is that I saw a headline this morning that says Israel has sort of pulled out plans that were already set up 20 years ago to attack Iranian sites. And so those plans have been well-baked and embedded and ready. And by the way, that headline I could easily believe, because I think that Israel has already for the longest time been collecting intelligence and creating these plans to attack Iran in order to disable its nuclear program. So for me, when Iran attacked in the way that they did, it felt like all that Israel really needed to do was to reach into the bottom drawer, pull out the plans, dust them off, reread them, make sure that everybody who needs to be ready is ready, advise those who need to be involved, get the equipment ready, and just push the button. And that's the way it sort of felt to me. I mean, I know that I'm oversimplifying things, but I'm trying to indicate that I think that these plans and the intelligence and the knowledge and everything that is needed has been well established. And I can easily believe that the attack is already kind of well baked, and that that the IDF and the Israeli government already know exactly what is going to be carried out. I think it's all now about the timing. And once again, I bring the US elections back into this discussion, because I think that that's the big influence at the moment as to how and when this will be carried out. And so we will just wait and see. But there is little doubt that Israel has a big favor to repay to President Joe Biden. And in doing that, unfortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you see US the election politics, it means supporting Kamala Harris's attempt to become president in repaying President Biden. But there is little doubt that with all the difficulty that Israel has experienced along this war with the US government, that the US administration ultimately has been a massive help. When you see the war assets that the US has deployed in the Middle East to support Israel, when you see the number of missiles that have been intercepted by US naval ships along the route from Iran and from Yemen, one has to acknowledge, whether you like it or not, that the US government and the US military in particular have been extremely helpful. And there is a debt to be repaid. And I think that this debt that needs to be repaid is now being repaid in the form of Israel simply willing to allow things to progress with the US election before actually carrying out the strike on Iran.
Anthony, of course, tonight is Sukkot. Sukkot is very, very triggering in many ways. I know that when I visited some of the kibbutzim around the area, ones that had been devastated and attacked, I still saw the Sukkot that were up from last year, and the families, of course, cut down on Simchat Torah in Israel. It's got to be a very, very bittersweet festival coming up. It is a festival of joy, of celebration in general, but this year has to feel a bit different. Tell me about it.
Well, we certainly feel the cloud hanging over us, as we have done over the last year. And of course, the anniversary of the massacre in the Hebrew calendar is now only just a little more than a week away. Next week will be Simchat Torah this year, which is exactly the day last year in the Hebrew calendar when the massacre took place. And so Sukkot begins the countdown towards Simchat Torah. And as you rightly say, generally, Sukkot is a wonderful, friendly, social festival with people going out of their homes and building a temporary dwelling. Some people actually living in the temporary dwelling outside their homes, others just simply entertaining friends or just spending time there. And it's a great time to be out and to be social and to be involved with the neighbors and to be involved with other people. And it's generally got a great positive atmosphere. And in years gone by, I've always suggested to people who want to visit Israel as a tourist, come over Sukkot, come over Pesach. Those are the festivals when the weather is good and the social atmosphere and the general feeling is so great. And yet we've got this very, very thick cloud hanging over our heads. So it's going to be a difficult festival for us to celebrate. I know that we are required on these festivals to be happy, but this happiness is going to be a very, very difficult and a very heavy one. Even though we are required to be happy. So we will do whatever we can, but we can't forget our hostages and we can't forget the bereaved families and the IDF soldiers, those who've been killed and whose families are mourning them, and those who have been injured along the way and recuperating and recovering, many of whom suffer life-changing injuries, those who visited hospitals and recovery centers and rehabilitation centers will see an astonishing array of injuries that young men and women have had to endure. Again, a family yesterday were cut down in its prime because a policeman was shot in a terror attack near to Ashdod. And that family are now moving into Sukkot today. Mm. That policeman had already set up for a wedding to marry his partner. The invitations had been sent out. And now they're moving into Sukkot, and it's going to be an extremely difficult festival to be joyous. And of course, numerous of our young men and women on our borders right now, fighting in Syria and fighting in Lebanon, fighting in Gaza and fighting terror on our borders and fighting within the Palestinian Authority area and on guard. So we, first of all, recognize the massive effort that everybody is putting in order to allow us to celebrate Sukkot here in Israel, to allow you to celebrate Sukkot wherever you happen to be. I hope that we will somehow be able to get into the spirit of the festival in some way or form without allowing us to forget, because we really can't forget. We need to have that at the forefront of our minds. And if that means putting a yellow flower on your Sukkot table to remember our hostages, or having a ribbon somewhere in your sukkah, please do it, because let's celebrate, but let's not forget.
Absolutely right. It is Anthony. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Wishing you a Chag Sameach, and with all of those things, with all of the complexity, and I look forward to chatting to you on Monday morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.